Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, and thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 7. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taken occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has gathered us and our children by renewal within the walls of thy house of prayer. The solemnest of old, when he was given to meditate and remember all thy mercies and all thy goodness, then he has said that the number could not be counted. And so it is with our mercies in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of mourning, then thou grantest so many blessings above most of her fellow travelers upon this world. In the country where there is war, then undoubtedly many churches have been destroyed, and many are not able to go up to thy house. Great multitudes that live in countries of persecution, there are many that are hungry and thirsty, that have not even the bare necessities of life. There are the destitute, and there are the homeless, who do not even know where they shall lay down their head in this night. Great multitudes in hospitals, in institutions of mercy, many in prison, and then the great multitudes that have spent this day as other days buying and selling, and for the pleasures of the flesh that have not even thought of thee, nor of their never dying soul. Many that have no desire to place thyself under the truth of thy word. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then grant a little bewonderment? Also, when we consider so many blessings and so many sins, then indeed thy long-suffering is great over us. And thou was written in thy holy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. But, ah, Lord, then it is still proclaimed unto us and our children, thy dear Son, a given Savior, who has glorified thy attributes, who sitteth at thy right hand, and who is gathering his church by word and by spirit unto himself. And thou hast promised to dwell in a special way and to work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in thy house. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Oh, the showers of thy Holy Spirit, where there is no true thirst and no need, wilt thou begin and wilt thou work those desires after the living God with a profound impression of our sinnership? And where thou wast given that thirst, thou wast promised that thou shalt satisfy them with the fatness of thy house. May that take place in this evening hour, when once more we are gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Grant many errands and hers. Remember the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers? And then the school year is also coming to an end. And then we humbly ask thee, Lord, wilt thou remember our students, many of them who are called upon to write exams? Ah, thou knowest that for many of them, what a high mountain those exams can be. But then we may humbly ask thee that it may become a plain. To that end, wilt thou grant a bowing of the knees, humbling, asking thee for wisdom and understanding, diligence in studying, and at the time of the writing, that thou may grant clarity of mind, and then at the end, that they may be given to say, the Lord has helped. Lord, wilt thou remember the students who hope to graduate, a special milestone in their life? What they have learned, may it have been blessed. May they not forget it. And wilt thou keep on such a special milestone that it may be in all simplicity an impression of thy goodness, and to keep from sin and temptation. Wilt thou grant broken and humble hearts to to the students, to the staff, with the instruction of our children wherein this year that thou was not taken one of our students, the staff, away by the cold hand of death. We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth. Remember the Jewish people. Remember our mission field, thy servants, the team. May it please thee to incline an heart to become a church worker. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our poor nation, federally, provincially. Wilt thou yet grant a turning unto thee while it can yet and while it may yet, before thou shalt pour the vials of thy wrath upon the earth, upon the children of men. May we and our children be given to see the signs of the time, to flee from this untoward generation, bind us closer to thy holy word and the truths thereof, and to be given to earnestly beg of thee that we may be given to seek and find a hiding place under the wings of Emmanuel. Then it is well for time and for eternity. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. May their eyes be upon thee. May they need thee. Grant them a special place at thy footstool, where they may be given to beg of thee, that thou may be the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom, and that they may be given to humbly beg of thee for thy special presence and thy special favor on their special day. Wilt thou grant unto all of our young people a future spouse in thy favor, with whom they may travel on life's journey around the old truths and the old ways. We remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Also the family in this past week, wilt thou continue to uphold and remember them, sanctify the solemn callings. Remember all of our elderly ones, those in our care home, with those that may care for them, those that may go in and out. The infirmity shall only increase. Eternity cannot be so far away. Oh, do grant that one thing needful. We remember the sick and the afflicted. Oh, Lord, do remember and go with that young mother to the hospital. May it please thee to bless the means. It is all in thy hand. Wilt thou grant that young family a special place at thy throne of grace, where they may lay it all before thee and to be given to humbly ask thee that this special speaking may be for the saving of souls. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember all the sick relatives among young and old. Thou knowest all the different circumstances we commend them unto Thee. Remember the burdens, the crosses. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the family circles. May love abound. When it is not so, may there be repentance and prayer. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions which seem to be too strong for them. Oh, do grant a bowing of the knees and a using of the means. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, wilt thou provide the daily bread for all of our family circles? Thou knowest the cares and the trials there can be. Also in that respect, we now humbly ask Thee for Thy gracious help. Do open Thy holy word. May there be a little milk for the little ones, stronger meat for those that have been led a little further, and a heart full of love for the unconverted. May Thy word go forth with power divine. Remember all the listeners in Thy house. Remember those that are lawfully hindered who may listen along. Grant also a blessing in the dwellings. Help so young and old. And that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy name. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 96, the four stanzas. Rest in the Lord and be thou still. With patience wait His holy will, enduring to the end. Fret not, those sinners' gains increase. Forsake thy wrath, from anger cease. It will to evil tend. And what follows, Psalter 96, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44, the question and answers 113 through 115. Question 113, what doth the 10th commandment require of us? Answer, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments and never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Question 114. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Answer, no. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience, yet so that with a sincere resolution they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Question 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? Answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Lord's Day number 44, concluding questions concerning the law, with three thoughts. In the first place, a deeper uncovering. Secondly, a separating confession. And thirdly, a fruitful preaching. A concluding questions concerning the law. A deeper uncovering, as we find it in number 113, where it speaks of the 10th commandment. A separating confession, number 114. And a fruitful preaching in number 115. Thus first, a deeper uncovering. Beloved congregation, once more, we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. And may I then ask you, each personally, or boys and girls, our young people, middle-aged, younger middle-aged, a little older, and our elderly ones, how has it now been? I read in the prophet Hosea 10 verse 12, that all the fallow ground must be broken up, then it is necessary that the plowshare of God's law, that it plows very deep. And how has it now been with that plow hitherto? Must we still confess? We have to say, Lord, my heart is so hard that that plow has not entered my heart. May you then be given to ask when you sit in your bench that with the 10th commandment, and that shall only be, boys and girls, you can remember this morning we have spoken of a rain, the early rain, that made the ground soft, that enabled the plowman to plow up the ground, to prepare it for the seed. Have we now become guilty? Has it brought us more on our knees? Has it wrought repentance, a sorrow, a need, and a crying for mercy? Or has nothing happened? If that is the case, then are we troubled? We are traveling to eternity, and it is very clear concerning the law of God that we are all very guilty. And the justice of God requires that each sin is punished with temporal and eternal death. Oh, it may still be declared that the Father, that he has given and sent his Son to pay the price for sinners, that he may be set free. He pours out those heavenly graces upon his church, and they learn our catechism in an experimental way. Concerning our first point and question and answer 113, then it could even be asked, does the instructor now really explain so much? The 10th commandment, it is included, and he includes also other commandments. Concerning the second table, then the sixth, seventh, and eighth commandment, as we read it, that speaks of deeds, although of course we have heard that the commandments of God are exceeding broad. The ninth commandment, that speaks literally of our words. But now the 10th commandment, that goes deeper to make it simple for our boys and girls. When we look in a mirror, then we can have a bruise, a cut, a rash that we can see. But sometimes we go to the hospital, and what a blessing, boys and girls, it is, when we have never been in a hospital, when we are healthy or strong. But sometime when we go to the hospital with much pain, then the doctor, maybe concerning the bone, takes an x-ray, concerning other matters, a CAT scan or an MIR. And then the doctor can look inside us to discover if there is something wrong and amiss. And so we may see it in this evening hour, that the 10th commandment that goes deeper, that concerns our heart and our thoughts in a special way. We could speak of a tree, the branches, but now in this evening hour, then we are called upon to consider the root. And if the root is diseased and sickly, then the tree and the branches, they cannot prosper. Thus a deeper uncovering in this evening hour. What doth the 10th commandment require of us? Then it speaks when we covet. What does that word covet mean? That means when we desire it with too strong a desires. It is a blessing because in the Bible it is written that the living have desires. There are many lawful things that we may desire. Thomas Watson, concerning the two Greek words that speaks of these matters, then those two words, in the first place, an insatiable desire of getting the world. And secondly, an inordinate love of the world. Does not mean, young people, that we may not enjoy the things of the world, as Solomon has spoken thereof in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, that we may eat of the good and enjoy the fruit of our labors. But concerning that word covet, then we could speak an inordinate love of our possessions. The most important, more care for our bodies than for our souls. Then in the second place, the greediness after more. And thirdly, the pining at providence. Thus then the 10th commandment, that goeth very deep. Then we can speak unbelief, dissatisfaction, discontentment, envious of what our neighbors have, and not appreciating the blessings, much pride, and only living for the world. When we speak of desires, when we think of the 10th commandment, then of course we may desire things that we need that may be profitable. We may desire to buy our neighbor's house a little bigger, a little roomier for the mothers. Of course, we may not covet the neighbor's wife, because Solomon has said in Proverbs 5 for the husbands to live joyfully with a wife of their youth. Thus concerning the 10th commandment, what a narrow way that we may be given to lay it all before the Lord. When we covet what belongeth not unto us in a wrong way, and that is at the expense of our neighbor, the harm of our neighbor, and it is detrimental for our body and for our soul. What a special prayer that was given unto Hagar in Proverbs 30, the verses 7 through 9. Then he was given to ask for food convenient for himself, not poverty. He was afraid that he would steal, and not riches, lest he would deny the Lord. Thus, when we covet, as it is warned against in the 10th commandment, it is also an affront against the attributes of the Lord, His goodness, His wisdom, His power. And now concerning the answer that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts. Then question and answer 113. That is against the Pharisee and against the rich young ruler. The Pharisee in Luke 18. Then he has thanked the Lord that he was not as other men, and even as the publican in the back of the temple. Then it is clear that the Pharisee had little self-knowledge, more concerned what people would say about him than the thoughts of God. That young ruler, he was concerned about eternal life because he has come to Jesus and said, "Good Master, what must they do to inherit eternal life?" And then the Lord Jesus Christ has said he must keep the law, and he has recited commandments of the second table, and he was given to say, "All these have I kept from my youth." Of course, a blessing when we may have a tender conscience and great respect for God's word. And in Mark 10, verse 20, then we read profound words. Then we read that Jesus loved him because he had respect for his father's law. But then Jesus, then he has come with the 10th commandment, not to covet and not to set our hearts inordinately upon the things of the world, that he had to sell it all. And then in that deeper uncovering, then he has went away sad. Then in that answer, you have heard it. Then we read that word "all" different times. It does not say sometimes, most of the time, under favorable circumstances, but then the instructors never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin. Thus we read that word "all" that is stressed in the answer of the instructors. May it be used by the Lord as an arrow into many a hearts, that they may be wounded and that they may cry out, "Carry me out, for I am sorely wounded." All times we hate all sin. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read of the sin that easily besets us. Our old fathers have spoken of bosom sins. For the one it is this, and another one it is that. But now the final blow, that at all times We hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. What a profound answer. What a deep uncovering. Then it is very clear. We have heard it many times, but in this evening, the final blow. All times, hate all sin, with their whole heart, and then the positive, and delight in all righteousness. Then I hear different ones say, then I hear it is hopeless. Another one thinks to make us discouraged when we hear that answer, enough to make us despair. And that is true, to despair of self. But law and gospel, oh, what may be declared, there is not one in this evening that can say it is hopeless and impossible for me, because it is declared that there is a rich Savior for poor sinners. And we do not have any examples of poor sinners that have fled, that have come with the burden of guilt at the throne of grace. And that the Lord, that the Savior has said, you have sinned too much, too long, against so many callings, against so many blessings. No. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Our second thought, a separating confession in number 114. This question and answer is against the perfectionist. There have been people throughout the ages that say that in the life of God's people, they can come to a state of perfection. Of course, they do not read so closely Romans 7. There are even those in the church that say that Paul has written Romans 7 concerning his unconverted state, but it is very clear that it is not so. And then we read, but can those who are converted to God, that is the question, has that taken place? Have we been converted? Have we been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, those gentle showers, to make this hard heart soft, receptive for the things of the Lord? We have heard out of Romans 14 that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Does not ask whether perfect obedience is required, that we have already heard in the catechism. But the question is, are there those when the Lord converts us, shall there now come a time that such a people can keep the law of God, these commandments, thus all of them, 1 through 10, keep them perfectly? may I ask you, has that ever become our desire, our longing, a begging of the Lord, that we may grieve Him no more? But now the answer, no. But even the holiest men, while in this life, we could speak of an Enoch who walked with God. Think of a Samuel, what a close and tender life he had. Think of Daniel, that large city of Babylon, that he has purposed in his heart. What a close and tender life. Does even the most holiest of men, while in this life, all for the child of God, when they may be given to meditate upon eternity, when they have received the good hope through that precious Savior, then it shall not always be always. We'll not have to struggle for always, as we have heard with Paul. What a close, what a tender life, how far led he was, shall not always be. No, John was given to behold the multitude of the redeemed saints clothed in white garments here, spotted each time by renewal necessary for a child of God, as Christ has taught His church, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, then it shall be perfection. No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience. Yet so, and that is the separating, to separate the precious from the vile. Oh, it is true. Also the church, a child of God, can speak of that small beginning, no perfection, and it can be sound very reformed, but can be so cold and listless that they speak of these things. The old man is not converted, excuse themselves to justify themselves. But when it isn't that way, then there shall not be that humility heard, not that sorrow, not repentance, but using the truth of God's word to walk a loose life. And therefore the instructors for examination and separation, we have heard that many times, that the instructors, they are given to separate the precious from the vile, and in their biblical explanation, that it gives those pure and beautiful marks of grace, that the true child of God, and that examination, also concerning that small beginning, it is true, if they could only be assured that they had that small beginning, then they would be so happy. But the Lord, He grants those graces in the moment of regeneration, of faith, hope, and love. And when they search the scriptures in church, then there are those times that they may be included, that they have that small beginning. Then they know what it is to be a dry and thirsty earth, a little plant, sometime it seems, that it shall wither away, but it cannot and it shall not, because the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. And therefore the instructors have added, and then we must examine ourselves, yet so, that with a sincere resolution, we have heard that word sincere before, that is real, genuine, desires that can be laid before an all-knowing God, that such a soul shall say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. We have heard in Lord's Day number 33 concerning the mortification of the old man, a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by all our sins, and a hating and fleeing from them, and the resurrection, a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and a desire to live according to all the commandments of God, thus a clear separation, yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live. Oh, it is true, many times they fall into temptation. The tempter comes, but they have that sincere desire in their heart. If it was possible to never sin against such a just and a good-doing God, yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live, and not only according to some, but to all the commandments of God. Then what is sure separation that we find in this answer? And then the child needs to learn, not in their own strength. The true child of God needs Christ in his threefold office for justification, oh, to receive, because with that sincere resolution, it is sweet, it is true, it is real. What a sweetness there is when a true child of God may pour out their heart, when such a one may lay it all before the Lord. Oh, such a sincere resolution in the beginning. What a vows can be made when that people is a little longer, they become a little less. Oh, then Psalm 119 is not a strange matter for them. But now to learn Christ for justification, but also sanctification. Reverend Hellenbrook, in his lesson concerning sanctification, then he is asked how the church must advance in sanctification. And then the answer, by removing all inward and outward hindrances, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, depending upon Jesus' power and using all means toward advancement. We have heard out of Romans 7 that Paul has expressed no good in his flesh, yet a living desire, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And then in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. As then we hear it, not in a cold, unfeeling manner, trying to excuse himself for his sins and his backsliding. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has expressed in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Because we must remember in the context in our Heidelberg Catechism, then the law is explained in the part of gratitude in the way of sanctification. Let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 8 and 9. My soul, with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, the stanzas 1, 8 and 9. Concluding questions concerning the law. A deeper uncovering, a separating confession, and now thirdly, a fruitful preaching. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached? Does not ask whether the law needs to be strictly preached. That is clearly commanded. We read of the children of Israel that they have said in the time of Isaiah, speak unto us smooth things. We live in a time that relationships are more important than the truth. Many times it is said the church must not be so judgmental. And that is true concerning the hearts. But we are called to judge and warn what we may see. And how often it is so that when my neighbor lives closer to the holy word of God, that we are so quick to say he or she is trying to earn salvation by their works. We are not to judge the heart, not the motives. That is known to the Lord. But we may speak of actions. And when our neighbor has a looser life than me, then we call them world conformed. What saith the Lord? Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? Thus the question is, what is now the purpose of preaching the law so strictly, speaking of the justice of God, that he demands perfect obedience, because in this Lord's day, he demands his image back? Shall it not make us and our children discouraged? That is very dangerous. That when we and our children, that we become overly discouraged. And that we say, we have heard it, could not keep them anyway. Impossible. What is the purpose of trying so hard? If I'm unconverted, I am unconverted. And to that end, the necessity that the whole word, law, and gospel may be brought, our boys and girls can understand it. If this week that you feel very healthy, and father and mother say, my son, my daughter, I shall take you to the hospital, then you shall tell them clearly, but father and mother, no pain, no aches, I feel so healthy. The necessity that we become the sinner in the sight of God. And now the instructors, they have given a few reasons. First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more. When a child of God thinks through the time when the Lord has begun that good work, how tender, how real everything was. The smallest sin, how troubled they were when they were uncovered deeper and deeper. what a tears they have wept. Blessed are they that mourn. But now the instructor is given to declare in the true work of the Lord. It is different when they may be led further. But let me add, do I not read in Zechariah 12 verse 10 that they shall mourn for him whom they have pierced, when they may be given to see what it has cost the precious mediator to save his people? Then sin becomes exceeding bitter. In the way of gratitude, first, that all our lifetime does a continual work, and we may learn more and more. That's a phrase that the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, then each time by renewal, then we read how clear that the instructors have been led in the ways of the Lord, and the gift in such clear language to explain the life of a child of God, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and as a fruit thereof, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Thus, a sincere and true confession of our sins each time by renewal. Oh, that petition concerning the forgiveness of sins, how easily said, without the least profound impression of our true sinnership. But to learn more and more our sinful nature, and in that way, the more earnest, each time by renewal, to go to the fountain of blood, seeking the remission of sin, justification, and righteousness in Christ, sanctification. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may more become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Have come to the end by renewal, to the explanation of the Ten Commandments. And how is it now with us? Read of many different people, so just mention a few, not explain it. A Cain. He has said that his punishment was greater. He was given to deny the mercy of God. A Pharaoh. He has said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Read of a Galileo, that he cared for none of those things. A Felix. He did have some impression, because we read he trembled when Paul spoke of temperance, righteousness, and judgment. But he did something very dangerous, boys and girls. His conscience was speaking, trembling, but he said to the preacher, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. And we never read of that season. Ah, may it be given that we and our children, by the precious work of the Spirit, pricked in our heart, and given to ask with those on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? And with the David in Psalm 51, asking for the remission of sin. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then at the end of this service, we may humbly thank Thee for another Lord's Day, the opportunity to come up to Thy house, and yet given a few words to speak. Well, Thou be the after preacher. We may commence in other week. Well, Thou graciously watch over us and our children in the home. Remember the mothers in the day and the night watches. Remember on the way. Remember at work. Remember at school. Once more, we remember all of our students who are called upon to write exams. Well, Thou be their helper ever near. Well, Thou keep us from sin and temptation. Well, Thou keep us from harm and danger. Remember the mother that is called upon to go to the hospital. Well, Thou graciously provide on the coming Sabbath day. Remember and help the brothers of the consistory. We commend unto Thee the custodians, those that may lead the congregational singing, and all those that have a part in the church service. We commend it all unto Thee. Well, Thou now bring us safely to our dwellings, and forgive us of all of our sins also of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 143, the stanzas 1 and 4. O God, according to Thy grace, be merciful to me, and Thy abounding love blot out all my iniquity. And what follows? 143, 1 and 4. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.